Good morning. Today's Daf in Bava Metzia is Daf Zion. The learning we do this morning should be for Ilui Nishma Shafri Talmud Ben Mashallah. The Gemara is a continuation of yesterday's Daf, where we'll be discussing various halachas regarding properties that are that are contiguous to one another, and as we discussed since the beginning of the Perek. We're dividing the courtyard, we're dividing the chatzer, and we have to make a wall. The wall has to be 4 amos wide in order to obstruct view from one into another. The Gemara, we are continuing right where we left off yesterday. Itmar, it's about 6-7 lines from the bottom of the Amud on Vav Amud Beis, and the Gemara says, Chatzur Zulam Al Mizu, I have two chatzers, one is above the other. So again, on a flat surface, it's hard to visualize this, but the two courtyards are on uneven ground, so one courtyard just simply presents itself higher than the next courtyard. So Amar Avuna Tachton Bona Mechenegda Va'ola Elyon Va'ola Ve'elyon Bona Mechenegda Va'ola. So the question becomes as follows. We know that there is a now shared responsibility on both parties in order to build a wall that's 4 amas high. But over here now, from the perspective of the upper chatzer, so he says, look, I already, in other words, I'm more than happy to build a wall 4 amas high, but 4 amas high from where my elevation is, not from where your elevation is. And the other party is going to say, well, what do you mean? In other words, you expect me to just simply start building the wall on my own, and only once we get to your elevation, so then I'm going to have to, then and only then are you going to contribute towards the building of the 4 amah wall? So that's the debate between the two. So the Gemara presents two opinions in terms of the Amoraim, in terms of what should be done. So Rav Huna takes the first position, which I'm going to reread. Tachton bonem mechenegda va'ole. So what's going to happen is, yeah, the guy in the lower elevation is going to start building his wall up to where he gets to the elevation of the upper courtyard, and then ve'elyon bonem mechenegda va'ole. And only then, once you get to that point, now the upper elevation courtyard is going to start contributing towards the building of the wall from that point going up. And Rav Chista Amar Elyon Misayeh Malamato Bona. And Rav Chista says no, that even the one in the upper elevation is going to start helping towards the building of the wall from the ground up. Not from his ground, but from the lower ground up. Tanya Kavasi, the Rav Chista, the Gemara cites a Braisa. The Braisa is going to support Rav Chista. Sheikh Azur, Zulam Alamizu, Lo Yomar Elyon, Harini Bona Mechenegdi, Va'oleh. So the upper elevation shouldn't say to the lower elevation, look, when you get to my height, then call me, and then I'll help you build a wall. But rather, says the Braisa, in agreement with the opinion of Rav Chista, that the upper elevation has to be contributing and helping and being a partner in the wall from the ground, the lower elevation, and up. If the chatzah was above somebody else's gag, so in a zakuk lo. Now we already heard that brisa, that part of the brisa yesterday. The Gemara quoted that brisa as a way of questioning Rav Nachman and his opinion. But anyway, we said yesterday is that the brisa, although it says in zakuk lo, which seems to indicate that your courtyard is above my roof, nothing, we need nothing. But the Gemara points out that according to Rav Nachman, you need a wall of 10 tefachim tall. Okay. We are now in the very bottom of Vav Amud Beis. So there were two people living. One was living above and one was living below. So the two-floor house, which is a common scenario in these Gemaras. We already discussed it in the 10th parak of Bamitzia. And here we go back. And we are going to be discussing a two-floor house. Two people living, one owning the first floor, another one owning the second floor. And once again, Rashi points out over here, this was a Yerusha that was divided amongst two brothers. Rashi's pretty consistent about explaining the Gemara this way, that we started off by owning the entirety of the building, and then we divided, and one got the first floor, and the other got the second floor. Okay. In this particular case, the following takes place. Itbar Tasai. Now, the Gersa we have in the Gemara is Itbar, which means Shavar, which means break. It's not really a good description of what happened. If you take a look at the Bach changes the Gersa of the Gemara. He has it to the word Itbeis. Okay, now it happens to be, I don't know what that word means in Aramaic, but I do know the following. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, Itbar Tasai, Nitbu'u Aksalam Atachtonim Be'aretz, Asha Shfela Tikras Aliyah, Ve'in Tachton Yecholi Kanes B'Tzokho, Eli'im Ken Shocha. Basically, we're looking at a sinkhole. And what happens now is that the building starts to sink. And now, in order for the first floor to get into his house, he no longer can walk in with a straight posture, but rather he has to do a little bit of a limbo in order for him to get into his house. So, Amalei Tesai Le'ilai. So now you can imagine that there's a very simple taina that the first floor person says to the second floor, I know you're good. I know you and your second floor are just fine, but you notice that my first floor is lying a little bit into the ground. I can't just walk into my house. I got to bend. And so here we have now a constructed dialogue between the first floor and the second floor, where the first floor is basically saying to the second floor, hey, can you help me out? And so the Gemara, here's how the dialogue goes. So, last line of Vavam and base. So this is now what first floor is going to say to the second floor. Tavanivne. Come on, let's do this again. Let's build the building again. Maybe we'll fill in the sinkhole. Maybe we'll move it to another place where there's no sinkhole. But anyway, but let's rebuild. So Amalei, Anashapika Dairina. So the second floor says to the first floor, I'm doing just fine. Now I understand that, as you know, as trained in the Musar Yeshivas that we've all been trained in. So you know that that's just not good Musar. In other words, ethically speaking, you know, to say I'm fine and I know you're in a bad position, but that's unfortunate for you, isn't it? Now, I know that from a Midos standpoint, it's not good Midos. We are talking about Iker Hadin. We're talking about the strict letter of the law. And the strict letter of the law is such where, I'm sorry, I'm doing fine, says the second floor to the first floor. Amar Lei Istara Anava Avnaya. So he says, okay, so here's what I'll do. So let me rebuild. So in other words, I'll take on all the responsibility, but this first floor is just not good for me. So I'll let just give me some time to rebuild everything. So the Amar, so the second floor says, Laisli Dukta Lamedabe. Well, okay, but during this interim period in which you're going to rebuild the first and second floor, I got no place to live. So Amalei Anurugila Dukta. So to which the first floor says, second floor, I'll rent you out of space during the interim, during the building. So Amalei Lo Tara. To which the second floor could say to the first floor, look, this is all just but a tircha to me, and thank you, but no thank you. I don't want the tircha. So now, again, the girsa over here is a little shaky. So if you take a look at the bach over here, so Amar Lei, this is the next part of this of the exchange. I'm reading from the bach. Amar Lei, Laisli Dukta. Sorry, I read the wrong bach. So Amar Lei, Lo Kamitar Li. So the first floor says to the second floor, yeah, but I got nowhere to live. To which the second floor says to the first floor, sure you do. Shofar kersech va'ol, v'shofar kersech v'pok. What's the problem? The problem is getting into your house? You have a house. The problem is it's just a little bit lower into the ground. So get down in order to get into your house, and get down when you have to leave your house. So you do have a house. It's just a little bit harder for you to get in and out of your house. Okay, but you can manage. Now, Amar Rav Chama b'dinei kama akev. Now, Rav Chama says, correct. Correct meaning to the second floor guy. Meaning this taina of lo katarachna. Meaning it's too much of a tircha. I don't want to have to bother with all this. So the Iker Hadin is with the second floor domain. He can legitimately say, oh, this is just too much for me. But there obviously is going to come a point in time where finally the first floor guy has a legitimate taina. When is that going to be? The Gemara tells us. Once a sinkhole is such, where this two-story building has now sunk into the ground to the point where, from the ground floor till the roof, the ceiling of the first floor, the floor of the second floor, when it is no longer 10 tefachim, at that point in time, even at the first floor person can say, that's just not enough room for me to crawl in. You remember going back to Hilchas Sukkah, we talked about the minimum dimensions of a sukkah, and we say the minimum height of a sukkah is 10 tefachim. Now 10 tefachim is not a lot. 10 tefachim is less than 3 feet, right? Approximately. So living in a house that's less than three feet is difficult for anybody. You're not going to be able to stand in such a house of 3 feet. So over here, once the distance between the ground and the ceiling of the first floor is less than 10 tefachim, so now the first floor has a legitimate claim. Amar Lei, and he says, L'mat miyud v'shus adidihu v'lo meshabed lach. So he says, anything less than 10 tefachim is is now that's not my airspace, and that's not meshubat to you. Meaning, I don't have to give up now actual airspace that I own to you. So at that point in time, now the first floor person can say the second floor. Now we're certainly going to rebuild. Now the Gemara says, now all this if there is no agreement made beforehand. However, if the agreement when they split up the Yerusha is that in the event of a sinkhole we're going to rebuild, even if the first floor hasn't dropped below 10 tefachim, so once there's an agreement, so then we're going to rebuild. So the Gemara says, v'chiasna b'hadi adadi ad kama. So the Gemara says, and if there was a tanai made between the two of them, so when is the point where we're going to have to rebuild? Amar Rabbanan kamei derava mishmei demarzucha brei derav Nachman damei mishmei derav Nachman ka'oso shishaninu. Meaning, what is the assumed height of any given edifice? So the Gemara says, we know. So the Gemara gives an algebraic equation in order to establish what is considered the normal height of a house. Take the length, take the width, divide it by two. That is going to give you the standard height. How do we know this? So where did we get this algebraic formula from? So Rashi points out we got it from the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash, the one built by Shlomo HaMelech, was 20 by 40. Length 40, width 20. 20 by 40, so now take those two numbers, add them together, 60, divide them by 2, 30. What was the height of the first Beis HaMikdash? So you guessed correctly if you said 30. So that gives us now the algebraic formula in terms of what is the normal dimension of a height. So if the first floor built a building, and now we know the length, we know the height, and now a sinkhole drops the elevation of the first floor to below this formula of length plus height divided by two, so then you can go ahead and you can rebuild. Yes.
Why can't the first floor always have a tighter second floor with a sinkhole? Because were it not for the second floor, I wouldn't have sunk. Because
that's just the perils of building a two floor building, and as long as the first floor still has a building and he still has a place to go into, it's just going to be inconvenient for him to get in and out of his building. Okay, so Amalu Rabba Lava Amina Lechulo Tisubei Buke Sarika Berav Nachman. So I already told you not to suspend these types of instruments on Rav Nachman. Meaning, basically, it's a euphemism, it's an expression. Basically, don't give him credit for saying that. He did not say that. Hachem Rav Nachman Kide Dairi Inchi. Rav Nachman says, what is normal occupation? Vekamam Ravuna Beredo Rav Yeshua Kihech De Aile Asarusa De Mechuz of Hadar. So the Gemara says, I'll give you a basic idea, a basic guideline of what is considered a normal height of a house when you are carrying a tall bundle with you and you're able to go in and out of your house with that tall bundle. So that is considered normal dwelling, normal occupation. Then such a building has it considered a normal height. But once the sinkhole drops the building anywhere below that point in time, not the algebraic formula, but just a simple, can I bring tall things into my house? Things that I normally can expect to bring into my house, once it drops below that point, and we made a tanai, so then we have to rebuild. Had there not been a tanai, so then we go back to what we said in the beginning of this discussion, which is up to 10 tefachim. Next. Hahu Gavra. Okay, a lot of our perek, almost all of our perek up until this point in time, was dealing with the issue of Hezek Riyah, where basically we have to create a wall in order to obstruct vision from one to another. But there's another consideration, and I know this happens all the time, and this is very halacha lemaisa, and we're just learning the Gemara together, all questions of halacha, you know, funnel to your local Rav. But now, what if I build an edifice on my property that blocks your sunlight? Okay, so now, and we're not talking about obstructing vision from one person to another. Now we're talking about, look, I had a nice house, I had sunlight, I had a nice view, and now because of you and because of your addition, your interest in making an addition, so now all that's obstructed from me. And now what? So here we start with the Gemara. The Gemara does not make that point clear. Meaning, let's just ask in the form of a question: does the top guy have to pay? It's not clear from the Gemara. The Gemara is just talking about whether or not the first floor person can force the second floor person in order to rebuild. Who has the responsibility of paying? The Gemara doesn't say. Okay. which let me just put in other words, I don't know then who would have to pay. How gavadaha b'nei yashisa achare kavadachave. So there was a person who built a wall alongside the window of his friend, and Amarlay, now his friend says to him, kam alfatali. Okay, it's now it's afela. And it fits in beautifully with Pasha Shavua. Okay, choshech afela. Right, the ninth of the ten makas, so it's dark. And so it's, you know, that's a makkah. So obviously now, they'd say, now the person whose light, sunlight was blocked can now turn to his friend and say, this is, right, take it down. You can't do that. You don't have the right to do that. Amar lay. So now, once again, we go through a hypothetical dialogue between the two parties to try and relieve the situation. Amar lay sechan lachacha vavdin lachav el miyishasai. So the person now who's making this wall, whatever it is, an addition, whatever edifice he's making in his property, so he says to him, look, here's what I'll do. We'll fill in this window that you currently have, and I'll make a new window that's higher up. So that I'll provide for you sunlight from another source, from a higher elevation. So I'm like, Kamarasi Lishi Sai. So he says, wait 1 second. So basically what you're going to do is you're going to knock in another hole into my wall in order to provide for me either some more sunlight. No, but that's going to compromise the structure of my building. No, thank you. So Amar Lei, Sasana Lach Leshisach Aduch Ledekave, Ubanina Lavavdin Lach Kavai Bimignan Lal Mishasai. So the neighbor says, oh, you misunderstood. First, I'll fill in the old window, which is lower, the one I blocked, and then and only then am I going to open up a new hole above. So in other words, I'm not going to compromise the structure of your building. So Amar Lei, Ashisai Mitasai Atika Mela El Chata Lo Kain. So he says, wait one second. No, because by doing so, effectively what you're going to be doing is the bottom part of my wall, the one that you're filling in, that's going to be old wall. The top part where you're introducing a new window, you're basically going to be knocking down the top part in order to introduce the new window, that's going to be new wall. And you're basically putting new wall on top of old wall and lo kaimi. And it's just not going to sustain. So Amar Lei, so he says, Tim, Satanalach ad la'ara ubanin la vavdin lach kavei begavei. Okay, so here's what I'll do. What I'll do is I'll knock down your entire wall. Then I will take out where the old window once was below. I'll fill that in. I'll provide for you a new window up above. And because the whole wall from top to bottom is going to be new wall, so now what kind of taina do you have against me? Amar Lei, so he says, I could have the following taina. Chada shisa charata, bekula besa atika lo kaime. Well, now I have an old house, one new wall, and it's just not going to be a match, and lo kaime, it's not going to sustain. So Amar Lei, so he says to him, Sasarna lach lekule besu vanina lach. Well, then, of course, what I'll do then is I'll knock down your old house, and I'll build you a whole new house, all for the purpose of providing for you sunlight from a new vantage point. Okay. So, uvanina lach kaveh bivinyanai. Sorry, I missed a couple words. So Amar Lei, so he says to him, Leis leduchte lemeidaba. Well, once you are rebuilding my house anew, so then I got no place to live. So Amar Lei, agin lach tuchte. So he says to him, okay, so what I'll do is, of course, is I'll rent you out of space during the building. So Amar Lei, lo tarachna. And here, we end off the same way we ended off above, and that is, all this to me serves too much of a tircha. Meaning, thank you, but no thank you. I don't need to be mitarech myself just because you want to build an addition. And as much as you are prepared to do a lot for me, including building me a brand new house with new windows, all this to me represents a tircha, and thank you, but no thank you, and he does not have to relinquish any of that. So, Amar Rav Chama b'din kama akev. So Rav Chama says, correct. That's absolutely correct. Meaning, when I say correct, we're talking about the person whose view was obstructed, whose sunlight was obstructed. Yeah. So he doesn't have to give up an inch, and he could say now to the other person, you block my sunlight, and that's enough. That's it. And you cannot do that. So the Gemara says, Hainu hach. So the Gemara says, now, the truth of the matter is, didn't we already see that in the previous case, where basically what we learned is that I don't have to be metareach myself just because you want something a little more convenient. Now again, the cases obviously are not the same. The previous case, we were talking about a sinkhole, and the first floor person now literally does have a harder way of getting in and out of his house. Over here, the next door neighbor wants to build a building, an addition, you know, he wants to build more. So obviously they're not the same. But the point, however, still remains the same, and that is that as long as you're okay, I don't have to impose upon myself for more of your convenience. So the Gemara says, so basically, it's the same thing. So the Gemara says, and when all said and done, why do I need this additional case? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you the Chiddush. Chiddush is, let's say you don't actually live there. Let's say you're using that home for really storage. Okay, so you're not living there. And now I'm impeding on your sunlight. And this is just for you.
What is the sunlight for the storage?
That's exactly the point. Meaning that's a chiddush. So, and you right now are making a claim against me that I'm unblocking your sunlight. So the Gemara says, under those circumstances, still, the argument of Lo Tarachna is a legitimate argument, and you could say that to your friend. Okay.
But it's really talking that he's living there because he said, I have nowhere else to live. I don't have where to live. If you're going to build me a new house, where am I going to live?
No, but he offered him to rent another place.
Yes, that means that he was living in that house.
Okay. All right, fine. Okay, just... fine.
Well, not all the details have unless to be included.
Right. Not all the details have to be included.
Okay. There were two brothers who divided the estate between the two of them. One got the palace and one got the field adjoining the palace. Now, between you and I, that does not seem like a fair split. One basically got the house and the other one got a nice garden. The Gemara later on will point out that obviously, when we're dividing property of an estate, obviously it has to be an equitable division to the best of their ability. And over here, I'm going to give away a little bit of the Gemara coming up. So the one who got the palace obviously had to, got more of the estate.
Bechor.
And could be, yeah. But even if not, the Bechor. But obviously what he's going to then have to do is that he's going to have to compensate for the other brother. So in other words, an appraisal and evaluation has to be done. Whatever greater the value is the palace over the garden, over the field. So the brother who got the palace is going to have obviously compensate in order to make it equitable, the division between the two brothers. Okay. And that point is coming up later. Right now, the Gemara is dealing with the following scenario. So, chad macha asplida v'chad macha tarvitza. Azna ha'hu da macha tarvitza v'kabane ashisa apuma da asplida. So, the one who got the field now starts building a wall. And he's building a wall, basically, right up against the palace. And he's basically blocking sunlight from the palace. So, amar le, so now, the brother who got the palace says to the other brother, kam afalta alai. Well, now you're making it dark for me. And that's rather ridiculous, isn't it? So, how could you do that? So, Amalei bididika benyina. So the other person says, well, I'm building the wall on my property. So quite frankly, I don't see the problem over here. So, Am Rav Chama bidinka Amalei. So Rav Chama says, he's right. He's absolutely right. So once again, now the issue of, you know, who gets the right of way, so to say, on these issues. So Rav Chama says, look, he's building on his own property, and he's absolutely right. So Amalei Ravina Rav Ashi Maishna Mehad Detanya Shnei Achim Shechalku Echem Mehem Natol Sad De Kerem VeEchem Mehem Natol Sad De Lavan. So the Gemara says, well, when there are two brothers who are dividing, one got the wheat field and the other one got the vineyard. So Yeshlo Labala Kerem Dala Amos Bestei Lavan. So when the person who got the vineyard gets the vineyard, not only does he get the vineyard, but he also gets four Amos surrounding. Right? We're going to see this a number of times that whenever you have a vineyard, what comes together with the vineyard is four amas around the vineyard in order to maneuver and to negotiate, as opposed to an orchard or to a field of grain where you can go through the field. But when it comes to a vineyard, so the assumption is that the only way to work is from the perimeter around the outside, and so you're going to get dala amas as well.
Is that line?
Huh?
It's not for the purpose of not.
It's for avodas karka. Okay, so that's what Rashi says. Shayuchor shemosa b'shvar. So she'amanas kein chalku, and that's the understanding of why they divided. So Amar Lei. So the Gemara says now, How is it that these two brothers divided property, one gets a wheat field and the other one gets the vineyard, and meanwhile, the one who gets the vineyard is also going to get four amos as well? Isn't that going to be a greater amount? So the Gemara says, well, the one who got the vineyard obviously got, who in addition to the vineyard, is also getting more property. So again, we're going to say, well, I know I gave it away already, but we're going to say that if it's not an equitable distribution of property, so he's going to have to compensate the other brother in order so that it becomes equitable. So that's what the Gemara means when the Gemara says, Alu Lahadade. They're going to make some sort of approximation of how much each person received, and whatever the difference is, so the one who got more is going to have to compensate the other brother. Avahachamai, Delo Alu Lahadade? So the Gemara says, then what do you think over here? You think over here that there wasn't proper compensation that was made in the case of the palace and the field? Are we dealing with idiots? Meaning if one person got the palace and the other one got the field, you don't think the one who got the field looks at the guy who got the brother who got the palace and says, nice house. It's okay, I'm good with the field. I'm totally fine with it. I know we're supposed to divide the Yerusha equitably, but you know what? All I really want is the field. Gemara basically saying, come on. Obviously there was a compensation that was made. You really think one gets the palace and the other one gets the field and there is no compensation made from one to the other? So So the Gemara says, look, I'll tell you what compensation was made for. In terms of the building, the structure, so yes, that was appraised. But in terms of avir, so lo alalah hadadi, that was not appraised one for the other. Meaning that the one who got the palace did not compensate for his ability to see. He did not provide any type of compensation for that. And therefore, what the Gemara now is arguing is, therefore, he has no entitlement to that. Therefore, the person living on the field right now can currently build a structure, even though it's going to impede all sunlight.
I understand, but right before the case before with the windows, Avchama said he has to dig down the wall. So why is it different? The kasha should have been from there. You know, in the case of the windows, Avchama said you have to dig down the wall. So why not hear the same?
Let's just say a little bit more, and also I'm going to say over Tosfos, and maybe with all that it'll become clear. Okay, v'le malei mikara espala depagdali hashta mashvile idrunya. So the Gemara says, well, can't the one who got the palace say to the one who got the field, look, you're making this argument that I compensated you for the building, but I didn't compensate you for the airspace. But let's be honest with each other. Dad died. Here's the estate. We divided it. I said I was getting I'll say in Aramaic, even though to us it doesn't mean anything, but I said I was getting the Asplida, okay? I'm going to get the palace. And now, by you building your edifice on the field, and now you blocking my son, so it's no longer an Asplida, but it's an Idruna. Okay, some sort of dark house. And so basically, what now the brother who got the palace is arguing is, this is not what I bartered for. I didn't barter for a dark house. I bartered for a palace, and part of the definition of a palace is that there are windows and there's light. So, Amar Rav Shimi Bar Ashi, Shema Ba'ama Palagle. So the Gemara says as follows. Sorry, let me read that better. Shema Ba'ama Palagle. So the Gemara is now going to try to make the following argument, and that is that even though, yes, in the negotiation, we said that you're going to get the Asplida, and yes, it's true, it's the palace, but it doesn't mean palace with all the functionality of a palace. It means you got that building over there. And even though, yes, normally when you say palace, it has with it a certain connotation. And the connotation is that, yes, you're going to get sunlight, etc., etc. But truth be told is that in this division of estate, all you got was the Asplada in name, the palace in name, but not necessarily in function. And we're in a moment you're going to see that sometimes that's true. That sometimes when you're negotiating and something is given a certain name, the name doesn't necessarily mean this is what it is. It could just simply be a name. In the meantime, however, let's just take a moment. Let's just take a moment to quote a Rashi, and let's go through a Tosfos as well. Okay, the Rashi over here Rashi is a little bit above where we are in the Gemara. It's a little bit higher up. It's about halfway down in the Rashi. Rashi over here now was going over the arguments of both of these parties. So again, we have two brothers. One got the palace, and one got the field. And the one in the field now starts building a building. And right now, we're in the middle of the Gemara where they're exchanging with one another. Can you do that? Can you not do that? And Rav Chama favored the brother who was building the building on his property because, hey, it's my property. I can do with it what I want. If you take a look at Rashi, Rashi says, "B'denafshi ana banyina, I'm building it on my property. So what's it to you?" And Rashi writes, "B'sheli ani bona." Meaning, look, since we are dividing it anew, and you have not sat there and enjoyed the palace with the sunlight for 3 years, so therefore, as a result of that, I could do what I want. That's how Rashi sets up our Gemara. Take a look at Tosfos, where he writes as follows. 5th Tosfos on the Amud Divar Amaskal Amalei B'didi Kabinyana. Perish HaKunshas, he quotes Rashi, Atayin Lecha Alay Chazaka Ora, Shel Shalosh Shanim, V'tema. Shayayachol Afilo Alav, Shalo Yehlo B'triklin Ora Klal. So the Gemara says, now it's a little bit strange as Tosfos, that really, and maybe Phil, this is what bothered you as well, really, the guy in the field really has the ability to obstruct all sunlight? Meaning, I know that's what the Gemara sounds like, but Tosa says it's really hard to understand. And what are you going to do? In other words, if I get a building and I have absolutely no access to any sunlight, so that's not a building. So basically what Tosfos says, and Phil, this is probably what's also bothering you as well, is that I can't imagine, says Tosfos, that really the person in the field has every right to obstruct all sunlight to the one with the palace. It really doesn't make any sense. And even though that's the way Rashi presents it, Tosfos says, quite frankly, I have a problem with that.
There's no issue with having Ria, that he's going to actually be able to look into the guy's...
It's a different discussion. It's not the Hezek Ria discussion, it's I am blocking your sunlight. So the Gemara says...
In the case before, where he was building a wall against a window, obviously he cannot do that, so... How does that happen?
Yeah, but Rashi, in other words, within Rashi's pshat, now you could say that previously he had cheskas kemoshanim, meaning he could say that. Okay, umefarsh Rabbeinu Tam. Now, continuing in Tosfos, Rabbeinu Tam says, Sheme asplida hayayachol eros listos av derech ha-tarvitza. So Rabbeinu Tam says it's not exactly the way Rashi presents it. That the person in the field is not really obstructing sunlight. Rabbeinu Tam says that can't be the issue because no one has the right to build an edifice that literally will block light from another person. Nobody has that right under any circumstances. Not even if it's new construction, a new building. Rather, udekama mafelt alavai, and even though when you read the Gemara, that certainly sounds like what the Gemara is saying, you're making it darker for me. Basically, what the person in the field did is he obstructed a view. That's our discussion, says Rabbeinu Tam. Zevikari le'nami idrunya shelo hayayachol lahabit lemerachok. An obstruction of a view is also part of this discussion of, hey, you don't have the right to do that. You cannot obstruct my view. So it's interesting. So really, Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam set up the Gemara as two different issues. According to Rashi, the issue is, you're blocking my sunlight. According to Rabbeinu Tam, you're blocking my view. Interesting, by the way, just to read Rabbeinu Tam one more time carefully, Rabbeinu Tam says, I could see my fields. Meaning it's not just a pretty view, it's a functional view. Meaning up until this point in time, I could see what's going on in my field, and now I can't see what's going on in my field. So it could be that even within Shitas Rabbeinu Tam, it's not just a view, but it could be a specific view. Okay. Anyway, let's go back to our Gemara. So in the middle of this debate between these two brothers, so the Gemara wanted to compare to the case of the two people dividing a vineyard and a wheat field, and the Gemara says it's not a good comparison because there was compensation. The Gemara says, well, why don't we argue that there was compensation over here? These brothers are not idiots. The one who got the palace obviously got more. And the Gemara says, yeah, you're right, but there was compensation, but there was no compensation vis-a-vis, according to Rashi, the sunlight, or according to Rabbeinu Tam, the view. So, v'lei malei, sorry, I'm sorry. Milo Tanya. And then the Gemara made the argument that even though it was a palace and it had a view, but maybe the person who got a palace just got a palace by name. And the Gemara says, and I'll give you a couple of examples where sometimes you get something just simply by name. These Gemara should sound familiar. We did this Gemara at the end of Bar Mitzvah. Hello, Tanya, the Gemara says, don't you remember the following Braisa? Okay, this was on Daf Kuf Dal and Bar Mitzvah. So about 2 weeks ago, we did this Gemara. Let's say I sell to you a land that's called Beis Kor Afor. Now, Beis Kor gives us the impression that that's the size of the field. Now, it happens to be the field was only half of a kor. But everybody called the Beis Kor. That's what people called it. So, even though that's the name of the field, and even though it connotes a field of a Beis Kor, but if it's that's just the name of the field, it's just the name of the field. So, he gio shalom machalo ala shma. Now, because here, it was just a name. But the Gemara says, but you have to be fair. People have to actually call that by its name. Another example. Pardes ani mochalach. I'm selling you a pardes. Pardes usually connotes a orchard that has pomegranate trees. Afa bishein lo rimonim. Higio shalom machalo elo shma. Again, it's a good sale, even though there's no pomegranates, but people have to have called it a pardes. Another example, kerem ani mochalach. I'm selling you a vineyard. Now, usually the word kerem indicates that the field has vines, grapevines in it. Afa pishein bo gefanim higio. Shalom achalo ala shema v'hu dimitkari karma. And again, the same idea. Then this third example, where as long as people called it a kerem, even though it had no vineyard, so it's the sale, it's a valid sale. So the Gemara says, me dummy. The Gemara says, again, not comparable. Hasa matzi amale mochalo keach shmaz vinilach. The Gemara says it's still not really a fair comparison in the commercial transaction that we just discussed of the selling of the orchard, the vineyard, the core property. So there, it's the name. That's what everyone calls it. Here, however, we're dividing a property. And remember, Dad used to live in the palace with a view. When I got the palace, I assumed I was going to get the same thing Dad had. A building with a view.
Overlight.
Amrlay, right. Amrlay. Back to the Gemara now, top of Zayin Amid Beis. Mar Yenuka, Mar Kashisha, Breder Rav Chista, the Rav Ashi, Nahar Dai, Latamayu. So the two sons of Rav Chista, Mar Yenuka and Mar Kashisha, the older son and the younger son. Okay? There's a Rashi, not here. There's a Rashi that says that they had the same name. Oh, right, he quotes the Rashi?
Yeah.
Right, the two sons had the same name. So, right, I'll write just like George Foreman. named all the sons George. Okay, anyway. So the Mar Yenuka, Mar Kashisha, Breder Rav Chisla, Rav Ashi, Nahardai L'tamayu. So Nahardai is consistent. The Amar of Nachman. Now, in Nahardai, the Yeshiva of Nahardai, we have two Amarayim who are notable rabbis of Nahardai. One is being Shmuel and the other one being his student, Rav Nachman. And that's it. And historically, the reason why that's it is because after Shmuel and Rav Nachman, Nahardai was destroyed. So there was no longer yeshiva in Nahardai. So anyway, so Nahardai, the Tama, Adam, Rav Nachman, Amar Shmuel, Ha'achit Shechako, in lahem lo derech zeh al zeh, v'lo chanalana zeh al zeh, v'lo sunlamo zeh al zeh, v'lo amas amayim zeh al zeh. Once a property is divided from the father's estate to the children, so even though there was pathways going from one to the other, and windows accessing, looking from one to the other, and ladders, and channels, and water channels, but once they divide it, it becomes two independent, separate properties from one another, and so therefore all those windows, paths, water channels are all now at this point in time voided, and we treat it like two separate properties. This is the opinion of Rav Nachman, this is the opinion of Shmuel, and it conforms to Rav Chama, where Rav Chama allowed the person to build the building. V'Rav Amar Yeshlahem, and Rav disagrees. Rav says no, that the pathways and the water channels and all the shared accesses they had one to another, they still will continue even after the properties are divided.
Couldn't you argue that their division was contingent upon their expecting to have these?
That's the debate. That's exactly the debate.
Right.
Okay, continuing in the Gemara, Ushar Diasma Denafek Ala Tavra, there was a contract, an IOU, a note, that was held by the orphans. And so now, they are the Balei Chov. In other words, they inherited the account receivable from the father, and so now they want to collect the money. And the person who owed the money, so out of nowhere, he pulls out a receipt. And the receipt says, I paid. And we've never seen the receipt before. So it's a little strange, right? So Am Rav Chama, so on this last one, Rav Chama also issues another ruling, and that is, so right now we're going to take a stalemate approach to this issue, which is we're not going to collect against the account receivable, because it's a receipt, we're also not going to tear up the account receivable. Okay, now, why is he taking this the stalemate approach, basically a holding pattern? So Agbulang Magbinalay Danafik Tavrayala. So the Gemara says, first of all, I'm not going to collect because the person who owes the money is holding a receipt. Okay. But Mikrala Karinale Dechigale Yasmi Dama Maisa Raya Marale. On the other hand, we're not going to tear up the account receivable because this is the first time we're seeing the receipt. And it's a little bit fishy, and I know right now the orphans are children, but let's wait till they grow up. Maybe they're going to be able to prove that the receipt really is a forged document. Now, can we go over on a number of these issues where Rav Chama issued a ruling? What is the halacha on all these issues? On all these issues, halacha does fall like Rav Chama. Except for the last case regarding the receipt, you have a receipt, it's signed by two witnesses. Come on, we're going to assume that's a good receipt. No. On this last case also, the halacha falls like Rav Chama. Why? So the Gemara says, because if this receipt was a good receipt, how come this is the first time we're seeing the receipt? How come he didn't take it out while the father was alive? It is a very strong indication that because this is the first time we're seeing the receipt, it is a forged document. So again, we're gonna rule like Rav Chama. We're not going to collect against the account receivable, but we're not going to tear up the receipt, account receivable as well.
Wait, what's happening? He didn't produce the receipt because only the orphans are the money.
Right,
the father
right. I hear. Right, we're right. Right. In other words, this could very well be the first time that it's
right.
that is demanded.
The document still exists, and that's a stronger question.
Right.
Why didn't he take the star?
Okay.
Okay, that's the
way
he answered it.
Then
okay.
Why was the receipt ripped up?
Right, right. Okay. Well, if there's a receipt, so then, meaning generally speaking, when a satisfaction of a loan occurs, a satisfaction of obligation, so generally the account receivable is torn up at that point in time. We're going to discuss the end of Baba Basra, right? The end of Baba Basra is all contract talk. So there are opinions that say that you don't have to tear up the account receivable, but you could just simply write a receipt. The Gemara effectively doesn't love that suggestion, but it is an option.
Okay. Adults, age 13 or
20? For monetary issues, generally 20 is the age,
right.
Even though 13 you're an adult. Kofanos olivnos beishar videlos lechatzer. Okay. When you have now a community, so there is a shared responsibility, and there are certain assumptions in that shared responsibility. And so the Mishnah basically is going to tell us what can be expected. These are basically your association bylaws in terms of what should be expected from every member of the community. So Kofanos Olivnos Beishar Videlos Lechatzer. So it's expected that you have a guardhouse and a door for the courtyard. Not every courtyard needs a guardhouse. Kofanos, so basically the difference between a gated community and a non-gated community. So Kofanos Olivnos Leir Choma Udlasayim Ubriach. We force everyone to contribute for the city a wall, doors, and a bolt for the door. Not every community needs a wall around it. How long are you going to have to be a resident of the city in order for you to be considered part of the city, meaning you're going to have to contribute towards the city needs? So you had base chodesh, 12 months as a Mishnah. Kanaba base dira harei kanchei miyad. Once you buy a property, so immediately now you're considered a member of the community, and the next day you'll be welcomed to the community with also a bill, an invoice. welcome to the community. It's nice to have you. And okay, but yeah. but you have to contribute. I'm not saying it as a bad thing. It's a good thing. In other words, now you're a member of the community. You have to contribute. So the Gemara starts off Lamer de Beishar Mal Yosehi. The Gemara says, now guardhouse. Suddenly get the tone from the Mishnah. That's a good thing. We all want a guardhouse, right? There was a chassid, says the Gemara, where Eliyahu Hanavi was in general conversation with this chassid and Ava Beishar. And now what this chassid did is he turned to the courtyard and he built a guardhouse for the courtyard. And that's good, right? V'sulo Mishab Adai. Eliyahu and Avi stopped talking to him. Obviously, he was not happy with him. The Gemara does not tell us why. We turn to Rashi. Rashi writes, Rashi, the first Rashi in the Gemara, V'lo Yishab Adai, Lefisha Mafsik Baniyam, Atzawakim Ve'ein Kolam Nishma. Because by building a guardhouse now, so basically, you no longer can hear the front door knocking. Or in this case, the front gate of the community knocking, because now, with the guardhouse, so the Aniyim are going to be no longer knocking on the gate, but knocking on the guardhouse, which is further away, and we're not going to hear the Aniyim, and we don't want to be like that. Meaning, we do want to hear the Aniyim. And so the Gemara says, and that's why Eliyahu was no longer talking with this chassid. So a guardhouse is bad, not good. Bad. So, but that's not the sense you get from the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, Lo kasha hami gavai hami brai. So the Gemara gives a number of different ways the guardhouse can be set up. One's good and one's bad. If the guardhouse is set up interior to the wall, that's okay. If the guardhouse is set up exterior, so it creates another barrier, so the Aniyim are not going to be knocking on the door, that's bad. Or maybe no. Both guardhouses are on the exterior, but one guardhouse has a door allowing access for people to go through the guardhouse in order to be able to knock on the gate of the courtyard, and the other one does not. The one with a door is good, the one without a door is bad. Or, just another way of saying the same thing, they both have doors, one has a doorknob, the other one does not have a doorknob. Or, they both have doorknobs, one doorknob is on the outside, allowing people to go through the guardhouse, and the other doorknob is on the inside, preventing people from going into the guardhouse. And again, the basic idea is that if the Ani is further away from the gated community and you no longer can hear him knock, that's a bad thing. So as far as Shitas Rav Shimon Gamliel is concerned, which courtyards need a guardhouse, which do not? Very simple. If you live proximate to a Rishus HaRabim, you need a guardhouse. If you don't live proximate to a Rishus HaRabim, you don't need a guardhouse. And the Chachamim will say, no, even if your courtyard is not right up against a Rishus HaRabim, but sometimes, especially when there's a dense amount of people, so the traffic will spill into the Mavui, get closer to your courthouse and your courtyard, and so therefore even you need a guardhouse as well. Let's just do a little bit more for today. I skip the parentheses. Rishim and Gamliel, Omer, Lokol, Ayaris, Ruiz, So as far as what cities need a wall, what cities don't need a wall, if you are a bordering city, your city is on the border, you need a wall around your city. If your city is interior into Eretz Yisrael, you don't need a wall. And the Chachamim will tell you, no. In other words, the people on the border are certainly threatened. But even the people interior, there could be a marauding army running through the interior, and so it could be that you need a wall as well. Such excellent questions. Okay, so everyone has to contribute. Is it per capita? Is it per person contribution, or is it basically per income and per asset? Meaning, because when people are coming into attack, are they interested in taking lives or taking money? And so the person with the more money obviously has more to lose. So how exactly is it going to be assessed? So Amar Leila Fi Mamon Govin. So the answer is, Lefi Mamon, meaning that generally the threat is not so much against life, but the threat is against money, and therefore the person with more money has more to lose, and therefore he has to make a greater contribution towards the guardhouse and the wall. Now, my son Elazar, so he nailed that in, which is an expression of the Gemara basically saying, yes, that's correct. That's the halacha. Another way to formulate the question is that, is the going to be based on how close you are to the wall, or is it going to be based on how much money you have? And again, the idea is that anyone closer to the wall is going to be more at risk and therefore has to contribute more. So it's going to be based on how close you are to the wall. So the closer you are to the wall, the more you're going to have to contribute. And my son Elazar, so he hammered that point home, meaning he agreed with that conclusion. Okay, we'll stop over here. So started the discussion of the Gemara of a wall of a two-story house falling into a sinkhole. A discussion of whether the second-story house has to be bothered with the building of a new building. The answer is at a point yes, and we discussed in detail when exactly that point becomes blocking somebody's light. So, can you do that? So the answer is no. The Gemara, however, had a lengthy discussion regarding two brothers who divided a palace and a field, where the person in the field was able to create some sort of obstruction. A debate between Rashi and Tosfos and Rabbeinu Tam, exactly what he was obstructing, sunlight or just simply a view. Rashi says sunlight, Rabbeinu Tam says a view, and the Gemara had a lengthy discussion there whether or not the person in the field had the right to do so, and Rav Chama effectively said yes, he does. And then Rav Chama issued another psak regarding children who inherited their dad's account receivable, but the person who owed the money somehow came up with a shover with a receipt. Was that good? Rav Chama says stalemate. We're gonna wait and see. Wait for the children to grow up. And then finally, we started the Mishnah today and the Gemara's discussion about communal responsibility and the community's obligation to contribute towards a guardhouse for the courtyard and a wall for the city. And the Gemara then discussed regarding methods of assessing and basically a formula of who has to pay based on what.